Good morning. If you would, let's begin in Matthew chapter 27 this morning. Matthew chapter 27. And consider the scene of Jesus before Pilate, as it is described in Matthew chapter 27. Jesus has already been betrayed by Judas and has stood before the high priest and has now been brought before Pilate, the Jews seeking a way to end Jesus' life. Beginning in verse 11 of Matthew 27, "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus said to him, 'It is as you say.' And while they were being accused by the chief priests and while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, 'Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?' But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?' For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him, saying, 'Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' They said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?' They all said to him, 'Let him be crucified.' Then the governor said, 'Why, what evil has he done?' But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Let him be crucified.' When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it.' And all the people answered and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Notice in the fervor that the Jews had built, that the chief priests and the leaders had built among the people, that Jesus was going to be crucified because they sought the release of a criminal, Barabbas, instead of Jesus. That the people would not be reasonable with the argument that Pilate had made that Jesus hadn't done anything evil deserving death. And they were willing to say that Christ's blood would be on them and their children after Pilate had demonstrated that he had nothing to do with this judgment, that he had washed his hands of it. That last point, they were willing to take on the guilt of the blood of Jesus, is a fact that we should consider further. As we know, though, that Christ was in fact delivered to be crucified, and he suffered the indignities of the crucifixion, but that he was buried and he rose again, and that after he was on this earth again for a period of time, he ascended into heaven. And then shortly thereafter, the day of Pentecost, the Spirit descended on the apostles, and they preached the gospel. And many were brought to Christ, baptized in his name, and the church began. But not long thereafter, Peter and John go to the temple and cause quite an excitement by healing a man who had been lame in his feet all his life and had gotten quite a bit of attention. So that at the point in Acts chapter 5, "And through the hands of the apostles," verse 12, "through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, so that they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. When they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those who with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. When he opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the people went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We're familiar with this story, I believe, but the point that I wanted to make, obviously, is that the high priest accused Peter and the apostles of trying to bring this man, as he refers to him, as Christ's blood on us. They were the ones who had signed up for that blood. They had told Pilate, his blood be on us. But now, not unlike any man, we all have the same opportunities to try to shirk away from the responsibilities that we sign up for if we are allowed to, that it is not an unusual human characteristic and certainly demonstrated by the high priest and the leaders of the Jews here. But that's not really my point. The point being is that Peter was, in fact, trying to lay the blood of Jesus on their heads. But not just these men, others. If we turn back, Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 11, this is that lame man that Peter and John passed by, and instead of giving him money, Peter and John, the man is healed, and he rises up, and Peter has an opportunity to speak to the people. In verse 12, he responds to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, and why look so intently at us, as though by our own power of God or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Peter says, you're guilty of killing Christ. You let that happen, but you have an opportunity to repent. Repent and be converted, verse 19. Sounds very much like what he said in the previous chapter. After he convicted the people, the fact in verse 37 of Acts 2, when they heard that it was, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know as surely that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and asked Peter and the apostles, what do we do? And Peter told them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the reality is that Peter was convicting all of the fact that they were guilty of the blood of Christ. It is on our heads that Christ had to die, and it is on our heads as well. All who sin put Jesus on the cross. God's love for us was greater than all the sin that we've committed, in that he was willing to send his son to this world to die for us. And Jesus was willing to do it, to obey the Father, to give his life on the cross, dying for us. Because we are certainly guilty of putting him up there. But God had a greater plan. Thankfully, God's love for us was great, and that death of Christ brought life, it brought salvation, it brought reconciliation. If we turn to Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, talking about Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness would dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. The hope of the gospel which we've heard is that Christ did come to this world, that he lived a perfect life, and that he gave up all that greatness that he had, humbling himself as a man and coming and dying on the cross and shedding his blood for us, so that God could reconcile us to him, that we could have peace before God and that we could have salvation. The reality is that when the people told Pilate, his blood be on us and our children, it was that way. We were all guilty of putting Christ on the cross. But yet God used that great event to bring us to be able to be reconciled. And we have that opportunity each and every Lord's Day to remember that sacrifice, to remember the fact that we did put him there, but that God's love was demonstrated through that sacrifice. And that by us committing ourselves and being baptized and having our sins washed away, that we can be able to stand before God. And that we should take this opportunity and every Lord's Day to remember that great sacrifice, to remember what the emblems mean to us, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, shed for us and shed for all for the sins of man. And that we have that opportunity now as we take the Lord.